listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 156. Okay, the Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who is still learning how to hold a microphone, John Brownstone. This week, we're talking about how my mental health impacts our DS relationship. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes, and I think John Brownstone has something he wants to say there.
Don't be such a hater, baby girl.
When it comes to that fucking handle, I'm a hater through and through. I'm proud of my hater status. I need a t-shirt that says, I hate this fucking handle. Nobody else needs to know what that's about. Nobody. Okay, so I'm going to do announcements real quick because the day the podcast audio version goes live is the absolute last day to tell you this stuff.
Yeah.
One, the Lodbrok giveaway. If you listen to the episode the day it goes live, November 30th, this is your last day to enter. So enter.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to this after November 30th, sorry, it's over now. But you guys know us. We will have another giveaway at some point.
Mm-hmm.
The second, this is the last day, November 30th, to tell whoever is listening on November 30th that if you are in or near or can get to Orlando, Florida,
mm-hmm.
on December 1st, we will be at the Woodsheds Shopping Extravaganza.
Yes.
Peddling our smutty wares.
And other things, too.
And other things, but mostly smutty wares.
Yeah.
Every day you keep coming in with a new butt plug. Look at this one. Look at that one. I made signs for the table.
You did.
Like I was like your marketing person or something. I'm going to need, if anybody listening actually attends the Woodshed, because we know, you know, you guys listen to us from across the freaking globe, so obviously not everybody is going to be able to go. But if anybody goes, I'm going to need somebody to comment on the business cards on the table and on the signs, because that's all me. The rest of it's all you. We know it's all you. It's your talent on display. That's my little part.
And we'll have some Loving BDSM swag, too.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Keychains.
Oh, will we? Oh, apparently we're having keychains. So those are very brief announcements because I know a lot of people will listen to this episode after November 30th and you will not care anymore. I do want to tell you something that you can't see if you're hearing this right now because we do a different intro for YouTube. And so this time I will cut out all of this part right here because it pertains only to the podcast because on the video, that doesn't go out until after November 30th. So why would I remind them of a Lodbrok giveaway? They can't enter at that point. That's just mean. So I'm telling you what YouTube folks already know. We have a new lighting system that is illuminating me in a way that, I'm not sure how comfortable I am with that. it is not the camera that adds 10 pounds. It's turning the lights on. That's what I'm learning. And we are, hopefully you can hear the difference. We are using new microphones, better microphones, but we don't have them on stands and we are actually holding them. And we, because of that, we have learned that John Brownstone likes to basically put his in his mouth. And so I know you'll hear breathy sounds from him. You might hear them from me. When we were testing the microphone, I sounded great. I was fine. But that was 5 minutes, 10 minutes of testing. This will be, I'm sure, over an hour. And who knows what'll happen.
I'm just happy to have my own mic now.
I think listeners are happy you have. Do you know how many listeners would message me and go, can you get John Brownstone his own mic? Or just tell him to sit closer to the one you got? Because nobody can. You have such a soft voice.
I know.
And you would sit way back.
Because that's how I like to sit. It's comfortable on my back.
Oh, I understand that, but that's really hard on everybody's hearing. So we have fixed that problem.
Yes.
But we actually have mic stands. We have not set those up because we're going to set up a different recording system, meaning where we sit and what the backdrop looks like and all of that. And we haven't done that part yet. This week has been so insane. We're just trying to get a freaking recording out.
Doing everything we need to do to get ready for the Orlando trip. It's just been hectic around here. I've been working my tail off in the shop making plugs and paddles and
oh my
yeah
oh and canes, canes
and canes too. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, today was cane, not candy canes, but
no, nobody wants candy canes, we want weapons of mass destruction canes,
right? So I've been doing all that, trying to get things squared away at the home front before we head out for the weekend. And you know,
and we're doing one of our, it's been a while since we've done this, a late night recording.
Yeah.
We waited till the kids went to
bed.
It's
been a long time since we've done this.
Yeah. And hopefully we will not do this like this in the
future.
Too
often, no.
But it has been, and it's been a wild week, partly because we're getting ready for the show on Saturday.
Right.
And partly because of the topic we're discussing this week.
Yes.
But I preface all of that to say that if it sounds off yet in places, we are learning how to hold mics. Even though next week they will be on mic stands, we won't have to hold them. We'll just have to position them in the right place. And if it does sound like it's down John Brownstone's throat, because it practically is, he eats a microphone.
I have nom.
Yeah, you guys stop that. So, and if you would like to see me look as tired as I've ever looked in good lighting, you should check us out on YouTube. Okay, so this week we are talking about my mental health and our DS relationship. Mm-hmm. So I've been thinking about how I wanted to sort of preface this episode, because we try, even when we talk about our own personal stuff, we always try to relate it back to what you might encounter or what you might be going through. And when it comes to mental health, part of the reason we talk about it in almost every episode, because I don't hide from it, I don't act like it's not a massive part of who I am in our life and my identity, because it is. But the reason we don't do more episodes on mental health specifically, although people have requested it, mm-hmm. is because I can't talk in general about mental health. I'm not a professional. I'm not licensed in any way. I'm not trained. All I know about is me, and I only know what 2 years worth of therapy has taught me. So I still have plenty to learn too. But because this week was kind of strained, and it was such a big part of our life, even though we kept pushing through and, you know, I didn't fall down and crumble, but God knows our DS kind of did.
Yeah, we definitely pushed through. You know, I did everything I could to keep you going.
And we will talk about that, and I appreciate that. But even this week in this cycle of my mental illness was, they're never identical to each other. So that's another reason we don't give advice about mental health, I guess is what I'm saying, and your DS relationship. But I'm hoping that by sharing our experiences, if this is something that impacts your life as well, you will find common threads, or it'll spark an idea or a way of looking at your own unique situation that maybe you hadn't before. Or if it just helps people out there feel a little less alone, then that's what we, or at least what I want to do for everybody. But I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to tell you how your mental health and your DS relationship need to work.
No, that's something that's different and unique to each person. You know, each person, I mean, someone who has mental health problems, you know, that's something that's unique to each person. This is almost a therapy session for you in a sense, isn't it?
I think so. And it's funny because I should have known. So let me back up a little bit. I have high functioning generalized anxiety disorder, fairly high functioning social anxiety. I have bipolar disorder. There's different ways of talking about mental health and mental illness. I usually don't say things like I have a mental illness. It's not a way I identify myself. I usually say I have a mental health problem. When I go through depression, I usually don't say that I have depression or I am depressed. I usually call it a depressive low. I will refer to myself as bipolar, but not everybody likes to be referred to that way because it makes it sound like I am the health condition I have, as opposed to it being something that I have. We don't say I am flu. So why? So there are people true. Out there who are like, don't call me by my condition. It's something that's a part of me, but it's not who I am. I will say I am bipolar. I am OCD. I am also diagnosed with high functioning OCD. I'm fun, quite frankly. And I will say that about myself. But I, if you don't use it, the language in the same way to identify yourself, that's okay. That's just how I do it. But if you are new to knowing people who have mental illness, or you're in a new relationship and you're experiencing this for the first time, always use the language that the other person would prefer that you use. So if somebody says, don't say that I'm bipolar, say that I have bipolar disorder, please respect that. But I will say, probably many times, I'm bipolar. I used to joke before I was officially diagnosed, because my mood swings were so complete and swift and from one end of a spectrum to the other, that I was bipolar. I was right. So I'm just kept calling myself bipolar. But so those are my fun conditions. This week, it has been my anxiety, which is funny because I don't say I'm anxious. I say I have anxiety. So people are weird when they describe themselves, and we're all unique. My anxiety hit, and I hit a depressive low, which for me, because I'm bipolar, that means I had to have had a high, the manic high, at some point. Except I don't recognize the manic highs anymore, which I think is making both my therapist and myself a little nervous. I used to know when I was in a manic high. I could go, ooh, yeah, this is mania. Wow, okay. And the past three cycles, I have not recognized it.
That's true. Normally, I can spot it as well.
Well, in the worst, right when I finally started going to a therapist in 2016, I've had this my whole life. I've been this way my whole life, but I finally sort of hit bottom in 2016 and I couldn't really function. And when I say I couldn't function, I was still high functioning. But it really was impeding my ability to lead the life that I want. I couldn't work. I wasn't participating in our relationship. I wasn't participating as a parent. I was just barely getting through the day. And I was focusing on what felt like the most important, which was work. And even that was a slog. So when I hit bottom and I finally started going to see a therapist, and that's how I handle my mental health issues. Other people sometimes need medication. Some people do a combination of both. Any way that you can work on your mental health is a valid way. There's no right way. Mm-hmm. I just see a therapist and that's what I do. He taught me language to use to describe what I was feeling, and he helped me sort of pinpoint these moments of, oh, that was mania. Oh, that's depression. Oh, that's anxiety. And so I got really good at recognizing them, and I could be in the middle of a manic episode and I could stop and say, this is a manic episode. Okay. I can't really control it. It's taking over, but I can recognize it. And by recognizing it and calling it what it was, that was helpful to me. I also knew that meant within usually 72 hours to a week later, I was going to hit the low. And I was going to need like a day or two to just be left the hell alone and don't ask me to do anything. I got to get through this. Well, that was about a year ago. It was probably when I was able to do that and tell. And now I don't notice the mania anymore, but I notice the depressive low because I become very lethargic and I do not care about anything. And I am too goal-oriented of a human being
to put up with that.
Well, I notice when I stop caring about things and I'm like, yeah, I care about everything because I'm anxious and I'm a perfectionist, which is usually tied to anxiety. And so the moment I stop being a perfectionist and constantly clicking through my mental to-do list and my physical to-do list and all the things I need to do, and I just do not care and do not have the energy, and it's, why does it even matter and why is it even important and who cares? I can pinpoint that for myself and go, whoo, yep, that's depression. God, that sucks. And I've been very fortunate. Most of the time, a depressive low hits on the weekend or on a day when I can take a day off of work. This week, that did not happen. It was a very mild episode. It was a day. It was not even 24 hours. And I know that there are other people out there who do not have it that good, that they would kill for something like that. My depressive lows very rarely debilitate me. I can usually get out of bed, take a shower, function. That's why it's called high functioning, because you wouldn't know it if I didn't tell you. You might know something was off. And poor John Brownstone, for years, all he knew was that I was a little off and I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And I was agitated and sometimes angry and sometimes tearful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was raised to think that there was something wrong with me. I think I've been this way my whole life. I think it's, there have been times it's been really, really bad, and then it would get better, and then it gets bad again. I was taught that when these kind of moods hit, you know, I always just thought I was a moody kid. You suck it up and you deal with it and you power through and no excuses. And, you know, why are you crying? I'll give you something to cry about. Like that was my life. So I have an internal voice that tells me all the time, no matter what part of my mental health is on fire, there's still that voice in my head that says, why are you giving into this? Why are you letting this happen? You need to keep going. You need to keep doing what you're doing. And that is the thing I think I kind of hate about the high functioning part, because I know I can still go to work and I can still do some of the things I need to do. But the reality for me is that when anxiety hits, God help me when both anxiety and depression hit at the same time, which is what happened this week, which doesn't happen very often. It's like trying to move through mud, thick, brown, yucky mud, where I can't see where I'm going and I don't know when I'm going to get to the end. And it's a slog and I'm pushing through. I'm feeling resistance every moment of every day when I'm in this cycle, so that, yeah, I can function through my day, but by the end of it, I'm fucking exhausted and I have a short fuse and I just want it to end. And I want the weirdness in my head to go away and I want the feeling to go away and I don't know when it will go away. And so then for me, especially with my anxiety, that ratchets up my anxiety even more. And it helps when I can have a moment of clarity and I can name what's wrong, when I can say, this is anxiety. And then when I can do that, then I can sit back a little bit and go, yes, this is. Okay, what are the tools I have in place to help with that? Not make it go away, but to at least mitigate it. And my tools are communication. My tools are to say, hey, daddy, I'm anxious. Hey, daddy, I'm depressed. Hey, daddy, I'm manic. I have said, this is mania. Not in a long time, but I have done that before.
No, you haven't. And like I said, with the mania, at least, that is always something, not always, I shouldn't say always, but a good part of the time that I can recognize when you are.
Well, it's funny. The first time my therapist said, you are bipolar, you are manic depressive. Do you want medication? I said, well, let's talk about this. Because some people who are bipolar, who have bipolar disorder, they do need medication. And some people can't work and they can't function. It's really, really severe for them. For me, it's where every idea I've ever had comes from. Now, not every idea I ever have comes to fruition. Good Lord, none of us have time for that. But this podcast was dreamt of in a manic moment. Masturbation Monday was dreamt of in a manic moment. Smutlancer,
yeah.
Probably my blog. It was way before I even had any clue about my mental health, but possibly. That is how my mania manifests itself. Now, it also manifests itself with increased heart rate and inability to sleep and racing thoughts and not the absolute inability to sit still. And I am somebody who focuses so much, you would think lichen is going to grow on me. Like I'm a fucking tree. When I get into something, I lose all sense of time. I don't know where I'm at. I can just do that. I don't get distracted easily. So when I'm jumpy and when I can't sit still and when I can recognize that I'm having a manic episode, I can almost feel my eyes twitching. Like they're just moving that fast.
Yeah. And you want to do, when you have that, you want to do all the things.
All the things. Now. And it is so exciting. And I always feel it's a high for me. And when I can recognize the manic episode, I kind of like it. So when my therapist said, do you want me to help you talk to your doctor about medication for this? I was like, well, no, because I kind of like the feeling. I did say that if the depressive lows ever got really bad and I considered self-harm or it just really, really got deep, deep down depression where I couldn't function, then I would reconsider that.
Yeah.
But what's happening now is that I'm not recognizing the manic episode to be able to say, okay, there's a depressive low coming. This is a cycle. You go up and then you go down. And so this week, anxiety hit and the depressive low hit. And every time I go through one of these cycles, and they are cycles, and the anxiety is on a different cycle than the bipolar disorder. And what usually happens is I can be anxious and not be manic or depressed, or I can be manic or depressed but no anxiety. And every once in a while, the timing is just right, and I hit a depressive low at the same time that I'm anxious. And if you don't know what that's like, or you think that they are somehow disconnected from one another and can't possibly exist in the same space, ha, 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 ha. There are a lot of people, go spend some time in mental health Twitter. There are a lot of people who have both anxiety and depression, and different types of depression. You know, there's bipolar disorder, there's clinical depression, there's major depression, there's all kinds of levels of this. And for me, what it feels like is on one level, my brain can't slow down enough to hold on to a thought because it's just a constant worry. And it's like a hamster spinning on a wheel with the same, for me, it's not the same thought. Like that's my OCD. I'll get the same thought pattern in my head. It's the same. What about? And I'm so on edge with anxiety that I can't even finish the thought. What about my to-do list? What about that client? What about that project? That's what I'm trying to think, but the worry gets so revved up that I can't even complete what I'm worried about. It's just a constant source of worry, and everything becomes a worry. Everything is scary. What if I can't do my tasks for my daddy? What if I can't be there for my kid's performance at this? What if I can't get to that appointment? What if I can't get this thing done? Oh my gosh, I have all these things to do and I'm never going to get them done. And it's a lot of just fearful, overwhelmed thinking. Now, when depression hits for me, there's a battle in my brain because on one level, it's the hamster wheel in my head of worry that I can't even articulate. So I can't talk about it, which is what I need to do. And then there's this other side of me that goes, but what does it even fucking matter? This is just who you are, and this all sucks, and it's never going to get any better, and every ounce of energy will drain away. And it's a seesaw for me. One moment, lethargic, unable to move, don't care about anything. The world is dark and gray and abysmal, and why are we all here? And the next moment, I can't breathe properly because I'm near the edge of panic. I thankfully have not had panic attacks for a while, but I definitely used to get them. My anxiety has lessened over time. So this week is not as bad as 6 months ago, a year, but I have this false thinking in my head that if I don't feel it for a few weeks, it's gone. It's never coming back again. I'm better now. No, no, I'm not. It's a cycle. And we knew this was coming. It's funny because I said it last week, Black Friday, we went and bought this new equipment that we've been showing and talking and using and all that. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, I said, at some point it's going to hit me that we spent all this money and committed to the podcast in a very real way.
In a big way, yeah.
And it wasn't hitting me. I was like, yeah, we did that thing. Okay. And I wasn't excited. I was annoyed at myself because I was not excited. And here's the problem. When I'm annoyed at myself, or I'm angry, or I'm feeling negative emotions of any sort, when it's part of a larger mental health issue, I am not the sweet little baby girl submissive that I want to be. Now, I'm usually not anyway. I'm kind of a salty person. I think I used that one right. Somebody who's younger than me, tell me, because I don't know.
You definitely have some sass.
Oh yeah, sass, okay, for sure.
And you can be a borderline brat.
Not on purpose.
No, not on purpose.
Okay.
And you know, and I know not everybody likes that.
No, and some people like it even more than, and to a point where I go, ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy it. It's not something she does in a mean
way. No, it's a biting kind of way.
It's got a little bit of bite to it, but
there are a lot of us out there who know this. We know people like this, or we are like this. When you are sarcastic, and you have, you know, you're relatively intelligent, as most of us are, you can say things and make connections and joke. And ooh, yes, I promise you, I was sassy baby girl before I was ever named a sassy baby girl. Promise you that.
But see, that's I'm a very sarcastic person myself.
No, not you. I love you, daddy.
Baby girl. Baby girl.
I love you.
So I recognize and I pick up on the sarcasm. And her and I, we go back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times.
Love that shit.
And, yeah, it's something we love. We, you know, we each kind of rise to the occasion, so to speak. All right.
It's absolutely kind of part of our dynamic, I think, too.
It is.
Because I am constantly pushing the line of, am I still being sassy baby girl, or ooh, have I crossed the line into I'm about to get punishment? Not punishment. I don't act up to get my spanking. I go ask for my spanking. That's how this shit works. But the thing is when my mental health is just going is at the forefront, whether it's anxiety or it's depression or it's whatever, I don't even care. I'm not trying to play that game of sarcastic humor and one-liners.
No.
It comes out of me. If it's anxiety, it's a total lack of patience. It's, I do not have time for this. Don't you know I am worried about everything on the planet? Mm-hmm. Everything that ever is, has been, or was, and will be, I have to think about it and worry about it. And so the way I speak is in no way submissive. Nothing about it is submissive. I am short-tempered. I am moving too fast. And sometimes I can't even speak. So he's over there being the daddy dom that he is, saying, baby girl, talk to me. Tell me. And I can't even form words, because if you can't get your thoughts to stand still long enough for you to concentrate on what it is you're even thinking, how the hell are you supposed to say it? And so not only do I communicate in a way that I'm not proud of, in the middle of anxiety or depression or whatever, I'm not even capable of communicating the way we need to in our relationship to make any part of our relationship work, DS or otherwise. And what I have found is when I hit a depressive low, and this was really fun this week because I was going back and forth, I'm angry. My depression doesn't come out in tears. For some people it does. For me, I'm angry. I'm short. Mm-hmm. It's not a no patience. It's a, why are you bothering me with this? None of it matters anyway. And so I am not proud of myself as a submissive in that moment. I have learned to be more forgiving of myself, because once I recognize that it's happening, and this is for me, and I'm not saying anybody else out there with these particular mental health issues, and if you have these same reactions, that you should do what I do, or that it would work for you. But I know for myself, once I can name what the problem is, and I recognize that I am speaking in a very disrespectful tone out because that's how my depression is manifesting in this moment, or my anxiety is manifesting, the moment I can name it, I get a little bit of control back. Not complete control. My brain is still on the fritz at that point, but I can slow down and stop long enough to catch myself before it comes out of my mouth.
Yeah, and I think that's a sign for me too, that something is going on, because when you are not normally a short person.
No.
Okay? Normally, you know, you will listen, you will absorb, and you will then respond. If you respond with a, you know, don't bother me right now, or, you know, I don't have time for this, I know something's up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also a cue to me that I know I need to adjust the way I approach you.
Right. And we've talked about this in past episodes when we talked about my mental health, that you can, for us, you cannot dom me out of it.
No.
It will have me retreat. If it's in the middle of anxiety, I'm going to add that to my list of things that I'm scared of, or I'm worried about, or that I'm overwhelmed by, and it's going to get amplified. If I'm in the middle of depression, I'm going to go, well, of course I suck. Of course this, of course.
Yeah.
Everything about me is awful. And why does it even matter this? And this just adds on. And because I have the tendency to lash out in anger, if he tried to dom me during depression, one of two things, I went through a period where I did cry a little bit. I remember laying in bed a lot and just crying.
Yeah.
It would just make me cry harder. And now that it's anger, and I don't know why, and I probably need to talk to my therapist about that at the next appointment, why the shift, but it's only going to make me angrier, and it's only going to cause an argument. And the thing is, and I've seen this said on Twitter many times, and I believe this, and I agree with this, we cannot always help how we feel, and even sometimes how we react in the middle of a mental health issue. When our mental illness has us in its grips, sometimes we do not speak the way we normally would or say things that we normally would, but it's never an excuse to be an asshole. It's never an excuse to treat people like trash. So for me, when it happens and I don't have a grip on it, then I get guilt to go with it. I try to remember to apologize. I'm not always great at that. Here, Daddy, I am so sorry for all I've spoken to you this week, because it's been bad. Nothing about it's been submissive. Mm. But for me, once I know what I'm doing, or I know what's happening to me, and I recognize how I'm lashing out or reacting or responding, I try to the best of my ability to just get really quiet, because us arguing, especially as his submissive, us arguing because I can't control my mouth because my brain has decided to just, you know, do its own fucking thing, that's only going to make me feel worse, whether it's anxiety or depression. In mania, what it really does is it means I can't shut up. Like, it's that one is what's so weird, because I almost look forward to a manic episode in this, because it's not so debilitating to me, and I know it can be very debilitating to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it is a creative time for me, and I'm excited about everything. I am the puppy that's been let loose in the yard during a manic episode.
And I've learned to deal with it in this way. When she gets like that, her and I will go off for a coffee meeting.
Business meeting.
And, yes, we call them business meetings. And I'll grab a notepad and a pen.
Just start writing it down.
And as she's talking, I'm scribbling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she'll be wanting to jump at the gun and do all the things.
And start them all.
And start them all right then and there. And I'm scribbling all this stuff down for her. And the way I found that helps her the best at that point, I've got it down on paper. And I tell her, baby girl, all right, we've got this written down. We're going to talk in a little more detail about it at a later date. We're going to think about it, and then we'll move forward from there.
And what I have just learned listening to that is that he's been managing my manic episodes when I didn't even know I was in manic episodes, because I can think back over the past 3 or 4 months from the time of this recording, I can think back to at least 2 times that you have done that. And I have thought, look at my daddy taking all of my ideas so seriously. And he is clearly my business partner. And he's making sure that we get them down and we think about them carefully. And we only act on the ones that we still care about in a few weeks' time. Now I'm going to be going, oh, well, I'm fucking manic, aren't I? Okay, good to know. I'm glad this is the signal, because I have missed it. I really have missed it. And I tried to explain. That's brilliant, by the way. I have tried to explain to my therapist that before 2016, when I hit the low and I finally went and got a therapist and started working on my mental health, I always had periods where I was just really productive, really focused, had tons of ideas, was really creative. Everything was just sort of clicking perfectly, and I was so happy. And that's, to me, that's how I'm, quote, supposed to feel. That's my normal base feeling. That's actually not. That's me in a manic episode. And then what would happen is that would always drop off, because just like y'all, we talk about subspace. What goes up must come down. You've got subspace and you've got sub drop, right? Well, manic depression. And so I kept trying to explain to my therapist that actually I can't tell it's a manic state, because that just feels normal and it's how I like to feel. I think I'm addicted to my own manic state, quite frankly. I do not recommend that for anybody, actually. But, you know, it is fascinating that without us talking about it, you, as much as we probably should, because like I said, when mental health kicks my butt, our communication, unfortunately, goes right out the window because I feel incapable of communication. But it's fascinating to know that you've been managing me. And I'm okay with it. I'm not offended. I'm like, oh, thank God somebody is.
I try.
I appreciate it. I really do.
But even in the way I ask you for things, because I know at the core, you have your submission, mm-hmm. okay? And you want to serve. You want to take care of your daddy. You know, many days I will come in from the shop. Baby girl, I'm ready for my iced coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When I know that you're in one of your lows or your anxious moments, you notice how I tone it differently.
And you know what's funny? And here's what's hilarious about that. I notice it now looking back. I do not notice it at the time, because what I notice at the time is, oh my God, more demands are being made upon me. And I don't respond the way I want to respond. I don't respond with mm-hmm. respect. I don't respond with eagerness. I'm not jumping up to do what my daddy wants. I'm like, fuck, what do you want? And I don't say that. But I am giving that off in every cell of my being. Because of the kind of communication we have, I know you know and you can tell. I know you can see it. And I feel in the moment, I feel, oh, I'm so annoyed. Why is this happening? And then right on its heels is guilt. Right on its heels is what mm-hmm. is wrong with me? Why am I being this way? And so then once that feeling hits, I jump up faster because I'm like, oh, fuck. Let's go do it. You have learned, and it, for anybody else out there who's maybe newly going through this process, either because it's a new relationship or it's a new diagnosis or it's whatever going on with you, there is a learning curve, and it's just another sort of path in the journey, because the way you used to try and do it with doming me, we saw clearly didn't work. No. And I think you are refining your tactics and methods. Techniques. as we go through this process. Now, I will say to anybody out there with a mental illness, the more you can do for yourself, the better, because sometimes our partners are going through their own shit and they can't read you the way they might normally. Like if we were going through something with a family member or an illness, there's no way you would think of it in the same way or that you would be necessarily as aware. It's just, it's not possible to be able to bring that focus to every facet of your life at the same time. So we've been very fortunate that when these things occur, they kind of occur in isolation and nothing else major is going on at the same time. But, and what was really frustrating for me this week was that I could feel this coming on. And the sign for me is I stopped sleeping well. When I'm waking up multiple times in the night, or I can't fall asleep, or I'm waking up early, once my sleep pattern goes out the window,
something's on the horizon. I'm by nature a night lurker.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. I wake up multiple times during the night and at times even wander the house.
I know. I don't know how you do that. I'm not getting out of the fucking bed.
And when I know the tells when she's not sleeping well.
Right. So we, you know, looking back, and it is always looking back, I can always kind of see the signs. And that was the signs. And you had even said something. I think you were more prepared for this than I was. But I also know outside of the peak of the moment, I know what works for me too. I know that if I slow down and I take half a day off of work and go, okay, I don't mm-hmm. really have to get this done today. It was a want to, not a need to. Push back some deadlines, do whatever I need to do, that will help. I know that if I journal and write the thoughts in my head, that will help. And so two things about that. One, I thought about that, was it yesterday or today? Sometime in the middle of all this. And then my anxious brain took over and went, you do not have time to do this. Just go do what you can do and forget that journaling thing. But I know for me, it's helpful. So the other part I want to say about journaling is that I know that there are advice pieces, think pieces on the internet that says, you know what, if you just journal, you won't have depression. It'll fix you. Bull fucking shit. Okay. That being said, for me, I have found that if I can write it on a piece of paper, type it out on a screen, and get whatever the thoughts are in my head out of my head, it doesn't make me feel less anxious. It doesn't make my mental health problems go away. God knows it doesn't cure anything. But in that moment, sometimes it only gives me 5 or 10 minutes of clarity. But I get clarity because all the thoughts running around in my head aren't there anymore. They are now in front of me on a piece of paper or a screen where I can look at them. And that's what works for me. And that doesn't work for everybody. So my point to that is, one, if journaling helps you in any other facet of your life, it might help you when your mental health is a problem. But two, it's more important to find what does work for you. I saw this great thing. Was it on Tumblr or Pinterest? I don't know. But what they had done was they'd made a list when their mental health was not at peak shittiness, a list of things that help them, self-care kind of things. Like what makes you feel a little bit more calm? What centers you? What helps you gain clarity? Some people, that is journaling, or it's talking to a certain friend, or it's doing a certain thing, or, you know, they had a whole list. And what they did was they taped their list up like on a mirror where they can easily see it. They don't have to go looking for it, because depending on whatever your mental health issue might be, I know with me, once it hits, I don't have the strength, the energy, or the desire to go look for it. That's just another thing. But if it's where I can see it easily, and that's what I thought was so brilliant about it, then I'm at least, I can look at it. I can move my eyeballs to that part of the mirror to see it. That takes no effort. And so whatever helps you, I say try to do it if you can, if your brain will let you, if your willpower will let you, if some part of you will let you. But part of the path, and for us in our relationship, because that's what this is mostly about this week, it's knowing those things. It's knowing that if I can name what's wrong with me, I can't stop it, but I feel like I have a little bit more control and I can start analyzing it. Y'all have met me at this point. I like to analyze shit. I like to think about shit and know why this is happening or where that came from. And for me, when I can say this is mania, this is depression, this is anxiety, then I can start to pick it apart and I can start to reverse engineer. Well, when did it start and what brought this on? And and it's funny because it doesn't make it go away, but it gives me something else to think about. And that for me, if I can do that, then I know I'm on the downhill slide. It's going to get, but every day is going to get a little bit better now, because that must have been the peak and now it's getting better.
Yeah. Well, I think what confused me most this past week is that, see, even me, I have certain things that I notice. And when you start having a bad night's sleep, that generally is a sign that you are heading into a manic. All right, because at that point your mind is spinning and it's like, oh, I've got this idea, I got that idea, and and I can do this, I can do that. So you end up thinking about these things rather than sleeping.
Right, and that is not what happened.
And that's not been the case this week.
No, this week and last week, because it started last week, I just couldn't sleep. It wasn't that I had thoughts. It was that I couldn't fall asleep or couldn't stay asleep. And every day I woke up more and more tired. And for me, the more tired I am, the more susceptible I am to anxious thoughts or even OCD thoughts. So my OCD is very, very low. I find ways to calm it. So obsessive compulsive disorder can mean a lot of things. You know, I think we're all familiar with the hand washing or the checking the oven or not even being able to leave your house because those thoughts take over. That's not a thing that happens to me, but I have my things. Like I, for whatever reason, and I've said this before, I can't remember where, but I know I've said it a few times, so this might be familiar. I am either, depending on the moment, depending on the day, terrified I'm going to lock the door when I don't mean to. Like in the morning on a school day, John Brownstone walks out of the house to walk the dog. At the same time, I walk out of the house with the kids to take them to school. We all walk out the door at the same time. And I always have to be the last one out to close the door. Why? Because I have to jiggle the door handle and make sure I did not lock the door and lock John Brownstone out. Now, would it be I would be mortified and I would feel really bad if I locked him out of the house, right? But I would be home in 20 minutes. It would be fine. He might even have keys in the garage or get in through the back door. Like, who the hell knows? But it is a fear of mine. And so I have watched myself do this, walked away from the front door, gone back to the front door, jiggled the door handle, walked back, come back like a couple of times. And normally if I do it once, I'm fine. But my way to counter that is I just jiggle the door handle on my way out. Now I jiggle it excessively. There's no way I have locked this door. Conversely, when I know I need to lock the door, I become terrified. I will not lock the door. And so the jiggling must still occur. I need to be the one to lock the door. I'm finally at a point where John Brownstone can lock the door. And if I hear him jiggle the door handle and I know the sound, locked versus unlocked, if I can hear it, then I'm okay. I have a few times, and I mean driven out the driveway down the path and then come back to check on the oven. It's not necessarily the one thought. It's once the thought is there, I can't let go of it until I'm sure. But it's not so debilitating that I can't leave the house. I say all of that to say that once I get some of these thoughts in my head, especially if anxiety is kicking in or whatever, they stay there. And it's a little bit like the OCD and the anxiety are shaking hands, having a good time. Maybe they're fucking, I don't know, but they are together. And it's awful. So, it's not fun. And it absolutely impedes our DS on so many levels. So I feel guilt and shame about not being the submissive that I want to be, which that doesn't always help my anxiety or my depression. Thank you very much. I wonder if I really am submissive. I know, like I'm on the downward slide of this. I'm like coming out of it. I'm probably in the best mood I've been in like 4 or 5 days at this point. And I know that's not true, but at the peak, I don't know that's not true. And so that affects how I feel on top of everything else. Now, what I can say from my perspective, we are all different. This won't be true for everybody. Mm-hmm. I sort of cling to my tasks. Like the things that I do have done so often now, they are rote tasks. I don't even think about them. Getting the coffee ready at night, turning down the bed, just those little things. I become very protective of those. And I just this week really thought about why that was. And it is because it is my semblance of normalcy. It is my submission. It is the thing that I can still do this thing that I'm supposed to do. And I might be the shittiest submissive you've ever met throughout the day because I can't speak with respect and I can't give you the kind of look that I should be giving you. And I'm cutting my eyes at you and I'm sighing at you. And I'm doing all these things that I'm not proud of, but I can do this thing. And a few times over the past few cycles, you'll try and do that thing for me. And I'm like, what are you doing?
I will try to jump in to help because I know she's not doing very well. And, you know, I try to do what I can to help her myself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sometimes I'll jump in to do those things. And, yeah, she'll be like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
That's my thing. Do not take away my... And I'm not conscious of the reasoning at the time. But when I look back on it, I know it's because... That thing, that's my thing. That's the thing that makes me feel myself. That's the thing that's normal. And all this other stuff swirling in my head, I know enough now to know that it will pass. I just kind of have to ride the wave for however long it's going to be. I'm very fortunate. I recognize I'm very fortunate that I can function and it doesn't last as long for me as it does for other people. But I need... For me, I need that thing. I need that thing that makes me feel myself. And it's funny what we latch onto. And don't get in the way of me making your fucking coffee. Coffee's mine. I am your coffee bitch.
I like that.
I don't want you to touch me. I don't want you to look at me funny. I don't want any of that. But damn it, I'm going to make the coffee. That's okay. Kind of how it's been this week.
Yes. Yes.
It really has been that.
Yes.
And it, you know, there are times, and it wasn't this week. I was too busy with other things, and the anxious thoughts were more about work and business. But there are times, especially if the cycles sort of come on one on top of the other and there's not a big long break in between them, I do get very frustrated, and I get sort of a woe is me kind of feeling of, will this ever end? Will I ever not have this? Will I ever get to feel the word that comes to mind, I don't know if it's the right word, is safe. Safe to think that my brain is normal. Safe to think that I won't have my whole life disrupted for a week or longer because anxiety is kicking my ass, or because I, you know, went manic and then went depressed, or, you know, like sometimes, and I do get kind of almost hopeless feeling, because it's like, this is my life and this is going to keep happening and I have no control over it. And those are not my best moments. That's usually at the peak of whatever I'm going through, whatever's got my head in its grips, you know? And that feeling fades. And this time I was very happy that thought did not invade. But I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't think I'm somehow the only person with mental illness who who feels that way. And I'm sure people who have it much worse than I do probably feel it much more often than I do. And I can honestly say, from a DS perspective, it is having John Brownstone and his support and his love and the fact that he tries. It's imperfect. It's not exactly what I need when I need it, because as many people with mental illness will tell you, it is different for us every time. Even when it's similar, it's different enough that the same exact things don't always work. But the fact that he hasn't run screaming into the night and hasn't given up on me, and doesn't, even though in any other situation, the way I have spoken to him this week, oh yeah, I should be in so much trouble. In any other situation, I would be, right? It's just total lack of respect in my voice. But because you've taken the time to understand this better, to understand me better, to know where I'm coming from, it doesn't help the guilt that I feel, but it does help me get through it. Because if I was getting punished on top of all of this, that
would be the wrong way to handle it. Right. Absolutely.
And I can understand that for people who are new to it, and they don't, maybe there's no diagnosis, or it's new relationship, you don't know what you're dealing with, or your communication isn't quite where it needs to be yet on these things, that might happen. It's sort of like you trying to dom me out of it. You tried once and then you saw the reaction. No, that won't work. Mm-mm. And I would say that if you are in a DS relationship where you're in that situation, the moment you see the first time it doesn't work, try something else. Don't keep repeating that, because if your partner feels that way too, if that's only going to make it worse for them, then you're not helping.
No, that's not the road to go down.
Right. And I can even, because we're all so different and unique, I can even imagine somebody saying, no, actually what I do need is I need a lot of discipline, or I need a lot of domination. And I say, if that's what you need, you do you, you know, do what works. I mostly just wish I could make the whole world go away for about 3 or 4 days so I could just ride it out. And that is just not how life works. It's just not. And I don't always know the best way to handle it until I'm on the downward slide. Like anxiety gets me, I think I have to do all of the things right then, because I'm not going to do them right anyway. But if I don't do them, then the world's going to crumble and fall around me, you know? And that's part of my anxiety. And so what I need is to sit back and slow down and take a nap and rest and just chill and get away from some of the things that are triggering that anxiety. And what I do is I dive into them deeper, because my brain is telling me that if I don't work until, you know, my eyes are bleeding, then I won't get it done and I'm going to suck and everything I fear is going to happen. And yet it's now that I'm looking back going, man, I really should have taken like half a day off. I really should have done this. I really should have done that. I really should have just told this person that I needed an extra day, or that person that they weren't going to get something when, you know, like I should have just done that and been kinder to myself. But that's, you know, I think most of us probably can say that, yeah, when we're looking back, there's things we should have done. And I don't have any answers. I just know that what I do is I talk to John Brownstone about it. And I let him know the things that are going on in my head. I let him know the things that I wish I had done. I let him know the things I wish I had or experienced. And what I love about our relationship is that you remember those things and you think about those things and you try to incorporate those things. And some people might say, well, it's because you're a daddy dumb. I'm submissive. And I know for a fact, when I know what he needs, I'm going to give it to him when he needs it. It's not just a dominant thing. It's not just a submissive thing. part of it's a caring human being thing, but it is one of those things that both sides of the slash have in common. When your goal is to want to take care of your partner and help them be healthy and whole, or help them be the best person they can be, or help them through tough times, we might call it different things because of our roles, but it is the same thing. We are taking care of each other. And that's, we've spent an hour for me to come to this point and to come to this realization that is ultimately what it is for us.
Yeah.
You are still, you know, you are still my daddy. You are still my dominant, even when I am spitting nails at you.
True.
And even when I'm not,
you're stuck with me.
I know. And I'm so happy about that. Even when I'm not being my most submissive self, you are still being the dominant that I need. And just as there have been times, different from this, of course, when you were not always the best dominant you could be, I tried to be the best submissive I could be.
Yeah.
And I think we, the DS community, the BDSM community, I think we get very caught up in titles and roles. And sometimes we don't see how similar they are. There are some clear differences. He beats my ass. I present my ass to be beaten, right? Like, there's some differences. But when it comes down to healthy relationships and helping each other, and I don't care if it's a sexual relationship, a romantic relationship, a platonic, I don't care like how you care for each other or how you express that care. But if you care for each other, the same thing he does for me because he's my dominant is the exact same thing I'm going to do for him because I'm his submissive if he needs it. And that has been huge. I remember way before my diagnosis, when I was still married the first time, and then when I was single, the swings between manic and depressed were huge. They were wild. There was nobody to sort of help me stay grounded. There was nobody to check up on me. There was nobody that went, are you okay? What can I do for you? Now, part of that was because I didn't have the language and I didn't know to talk to people and I didn't have a support system. But you have been trying to figure this out since long before I got a diagnosis and I had a name for it. It was imperfect, but it was at least an attempt. And I can't help but believe that it's having your support that helps me through it in the micro, like as it's happening. And then on the broader scale of, okay, we know this is going to happen. It's just a cycle. What can we do to hold off that cycle? You know, do we change our diet? Do we change our sleeping? How much caffeine do you really need? Like,
what?
Right. Well, or maybe not, you know, but we actively try to work on it together during and before and after. And that I think is helpful too. I think that has helped me is what I mean by that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we've had to adjust as we go all along. I mean, just like when you first moved here.
Yeah.
You know, we had to totally, I made the decision to totally suspend our DS.
And you know, it's funny, we did, and yet for me, and it's the reason when people will say, well, you're not always doing, you know, you're not always being submissive, so how are you 24/7 DS? Easy, because every moment of every day, you are my dominant and you are daddy. Every moment. The actions is just one way to express it, but it's also how I think about you. So I needed the break from at that moment because we didn't know at the time. That was my anxiety. That was the mood. Yeah. That was a lot of things, but that was anxiety. And, you know, yeah, the actions were suspended, but the feeling never was. And it wasn't like I went, oh, well, that is John, I won't say your last name, on the microphone. and so now he's just John. Oh, I don't even like saying your name. It's, it doesn't feel right in my mouth. You were still daddy. You were still top dog. I still defer to you. In the middle of a mental health issue, my anxiety, depression, whatever, I still, when I'm like mostly in my right mind, I still defer to you. What do you want? And see, what's funny, and the thing I wanted to say, was it yesterday or today? And I stopped myself because I was afraid of sending you mixed signals. There was a moment, it was today, we were trying to plan, we were going to record and how we wanted to do it. And I was trying to do that kind of submissive thing of tell me how your day is going. And because for me as a submissive, I'm going to wrap my whole world around what will work for you so I don't disrupt you. Partly because I was feeling really guilty about how things have gone this week, and partly because I needed it to be easy. And what I didn't say, and I'll tell you why I didn't say it. Okay. What I didn't say was, I need you to make the decision. I need you to dom right now. I need you to be in control of this decision. And the reason I didn't say it is because we have had so many conversations in the past and then now, right now, recording, that you can't dom me out of anxiety or depression. No. And yet what I needed in that moment was for you to just make the decision. And what's funny is because there is a certain amount of tiptoeing around me during these times, he's over there going, I just want to do whatever you need me to do. And I'm like, but I need you to tell me what the fuck to do right now. I need you to just tell me. And I think that this will be on the record. We're recording it.
Yes.
I think that that cannot be a go-to for me. But I think that I need to learn how to say right now, I need you to dom me. I need you to be the dominant and tell me what the fuck to do, because I cannot, I don't know what to do at this moment.
See, I was trying to give you an out because I know how you have been this week.
I know, and I hate it.
All right. I know that your workload, all right, is much more than mine, and it's easier for me to adjust. So when you said that, I was like, look, I'm good.
In my head, good. I'm screaming, no, that is not what I mean. And it's funny because it's almost annoying to be the type of people who think about these things all the time, because I think your average person thinks about them when they need to think about them, but it's not like we can't even have a normal conversation when my mental health is good, because I'm like, well, what are the ramifications of this? And what does this mean about how we talk about BDSM? And does this change our dynamic anyway? I'm analyzing, y'all. But this week it was even worse, because it was like, but if I tell him that's what I need, what if I'm telling him that that's what I need all the time and I don't always need it all the time, but I know I need it right now, but I don't know how to voice this. And then because I was feeling so indecisive and so out of control, because like I said, I'm on the downhill slide of anxiety for the week, but it's not completely gone. It definitely still has me. The sheer amount of coffee I've been drinking in the past 2 or 3 days is also a new sign. I didn't quite realize it, but it's definitely a sign. And so I can't.
And Diet Coke.
Yeah, I always drink a lot of Diet Coke. but that has been part of it, is like, now I'm like, no, I need you to dom me, but and I'm overthinking it, and the thoughts are moving faster and faster. And what has also been funny to me, because I have not spoken with the respect that I would like to, you and I have fussed at each other today, especially over things we agree on. Like, we both agree.
Yes.
We agree completely with what the outcome should be. We agree with what the process should be. But I couldn't, and I still haven't been able to figure out who wasn't listening to who. Because we were fussing at each other. I don't remember what it was, but voices were getting raised. And I'm like,
I am not going to lie. This week has been a bit of a different week for me too, because of what we're doing this weekend. I have been stressed out myself.
Mm-hmm.
All right, trying to juggle, you know, a lot of different hats. Between making kinky items, making non-kinky items, how are we going to transport it? You know, what needs to be packed, this and that.
And all the supplies we've been buying. I've been to more stores this week.
Yeah, I mean, because of what we're doing, this is something, a little bit of a new-ish portion of the venture. I mean, I've done craft shows now, two and a half years?
Something like that.
And, you know, but this adds a certain little layer. And there were other things that we needed for this that I would not need for a normal weekend craft show.
True. But nothing you do with me is normal, so that should just like pull us right there.
I should have known right, you know, from the start. So, you know, yeah, even myself, I've been a bit on edge as well.
And then you're taking care of me and you're helping, and the kids, they're good. They're good boys, but they've been a little, It's been a lot. And it's so funny. It's funny right now. It's not funny in the moment. So what I have found, and I don't know if it's depression or anxiety, but in those moments, I become very aware of how much I do. Now, some of that I do because I'm the mom. Some of that I do because I'm the submissive. Some of that I do because it's just what I do. I do all the things. And there is a certain amount, and many women can probably relate to this, of emotional labor that goes on in relationships where I'm keeping track of everything in my head. I've been now to, two stores to pick up jeans for one child. I've done many things this week I did not have time for. And what I have found this week especially, but it's not the first time, it's not the first cycle that this has happened, is I am very aware of all of the work I do that nobody else in this family does because I do it. But it is in these moments I become resentful of it. I try not to say anything because I know it's a temporary feeling. Now, I'm sure some people out there would say, if you're feeling it, maybe it's something you keep burying. That might be true too. Maybe I need to deal with it. That's what my therapist is for. But it is always funny to me how when things are mostly calm and mostly good, my submissive self just kicks in and I want to do all of these things. And most submissives will probably recognize this. Because I control it that way and I know it's done right. And it's not just a serving thing. It's not just because I was told to do it or asked to do it. It's because it'll be done my way and my way will be the right way. And I know it will be done to my standards. And so therefore just let me do it. But when anger and fear and all of those negative emotions are right at the surface, that's not how I feel about it. At all. And so that I lash out at that too. And I feel very put upon and I feel very much the way I used to feel in my first marriage, which I've never been made to feel that way in our relationship. And yet that's how I think about it. Even if it's just sort of momentarily for like a blip, I think about it that way instead of with sort of that submissive heart that I'd like to have. And it does not help, and I'm pretty sure it contributes to the tone with which I used to speak to my daddy, of which I'm still not proud at all. So I don't think we said anything that was helpful to anybody but us.
No, I think it was a good therapy session for you.
I think so too. What I'm hoping, y'all know I get really uncomfortable when I don't think anybody can get anything out of one of the episodes. I'm usually apologizing for it for like several days. I know that not everybody can possibly relate to this because we are all so unique and we all handle things differently and react to things differently. And not everybody even has some people don't have any mental health issues and none of us have the exact same configuration, right? What I guess, if there's anything for you to get out of this, is that this is normal. You can still have your DS relationship, no matter what your health crisis might be. If you are the partner of somebody who, either side of the slash, who has mental illness or anything, physical illness, whatever, you have to decide what you can and what you can't do. And if you're in a long-term relationship, really hope that you can continue that long-term relationship. I have seen people bail. I have seen people jump ship and run the other way. And it's devastating. And yet I still go back to that feeling of, if you can't be with me at my worst, if you can't handle this, I don't need you at my best. Move on.
There are ways to navigate it. It takes trial and error.
Mm-hmm. It takes being willing to get it wrong so you can get it right later.
Yeah. You know, God knows I've made my mistakes in trying to help and deal with it.
I think intention matters. You know, if you, thankfully you're not, and I wouldn't be with you if you are, but if you were sort of that arrogant kind of person who thinks that no matter what is going on around you, that what you want is the most important and you are always priority no matter what, one, we wouldn't have lasted, but two, you wouldn't even be mentally or emotionally capable of trying to help me, because it's all about you. And I think that the willingness to want to help, the desire to help you, if you are the partner who is not going through this, you will not have all of the answers, whether you are dominant or submissive. For submissives, I know you want to take care of your dominant partner, and sometimes taking care of your dominant partner is tough love, or sometimes it's, you know, having really hard conversations with them, and sometimes it's stepping back a little bit. Dominance, obviously you want to take care of your submissive on some level, whatever level y'all agreed upon and negotiated. Well, you won't always have the answers. And I have seen that paralyze dominance before. They're like, I don't have any of the answers. This is outside of my territory. I don't feel in control. I don't even know what to do. And they just like, they don't know what to do. Well, talk to your partner and ask what they need. They might not always know either. God knows, I don't always know what I need. Right. And I have found that you, and I think it's because we've been together so long and because we are so close, you often know what I need before I know what I need.
Many times I do. And even like today, remember when I came, I think it was when I came in, and I saw you sitting there with a frustrated look on your face. And I walked up to her and I was like, what can I do?
And sometimes the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. But I have found that even when I don't know, if I can talk to you about it, if I can try to find words to articulate what's happening in my head, that by itself will help too, because it means I'm not stuck with my thoughts by myself, where they're not doing any good in my head anyway. You know, they're just rolling around on that hamster wheel and they're not going anywhere. And sometimes they're getting bigger and bigger, and so it's just madness in there. And just trying to articulate it and trying to find the words and knowing that I can, knowing that you're not going to ignore me. You're not going to like shove me away. You're not going to tell me I need to stop bitching. You're not going to do any of that. You're going to just listen, even though you don't understand and you cannot help. Sometimes truly just listening really, really does make a huge difference for me. And, you know, I guess that's another thing that if anybody can get anything out of this episode and it not just be a therapy session, because that feels like navel gazing to me, then that would be it. Sometimes all you can do is listen, and just fucking listen. Because one, you're going to learn a lot that you did not know before. Yeah. You're going to have an insight into your partner you didn't have before.
I mean, one of the things that I have learned from this is, you know, when this really started becoming a problem for you, you know, as her daddy, I was like, I need to fix this.
Yeah.
You know, I need to do something to make this right. And I can't.
I wish you could. I want you to fix it.
You know.
I'd love for you to be able to
I wish
fix
I
it.
Could, too. You know, pick up a magic wand and wave it a few times and all's well and good.
Pick up your wood and fix things with your wood.
Yeah, my wood.
Wood fixes everything.
Yeah, wood's good.
I can't tell if that's how you know that I'm really not all there, that I'm like, oh yeah, his puns, they're fine. They're fine. Or if that means I'm getting better. Never quite sure. Never quite sure.
But, you know, no, I can't fix it. I can't make it right. All I've learned, you know, yes, there are some things I can do to help her.
Sure.
I can support her. I can love her.
And as the person going through it, and there have been moments when all I needed was to be reminded that I was loved and that I was worthy of love and that I was not all of the awful things that I was calling myself in my head that are things that on one level I know aren't true. So I don't want to say them out loud. And yet there's also that fear that if I say them out loud, I make them true. Oh, you got to love a wonky brain. And you know, sometimes, yeah. So it's cliche as it is, sometimes all you need is love. I'm not going to start singing.
Thank you.
Even with a microphone. Y'all, I don't know. I'm not going to sing. Even with a microphone in my hand.
Thank you.
So I could go around and around about this topic for hours, but we probably shouldn't do that.
No.
This is probably going to be our longest episode in a while. We were doing pretty good at keeping it like right at an hour.
I know.
Not happening.
Not this time.
For everybody with a long commute, you're welcome. For everybody with a short commute, I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
But yeah, that's, like I said, I hope you can glean something helpful from this? If nothing else, if it just starts the conversation between you and a partner about what you've noticed or what you've experienced or what you're going through that maybe you haven't talked about, then that's good too. I do know that it is our communication skills when I'm totally healthy that because they're so strong then, that's what gets us through times like now when it's not as strong because I'm not able to speak up and communicate my thoughts the way I normally would. I mean, I imagine you're kind of like, "Oh, wow, I'm getting a break. I don't know what's going on in her head." And then after a few hours of that, you're like, "Fuck, I don't know what's going on in her head. What is going on in there?
What's going on? Something's happening."
So even if you are not experiencing this right now, I guess what I would say is the stronger your communication is, the better. It will help you get through tough times no matter what they are.
That is true. Very true.
So I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Do a little bit of a bonus section, not a lot.
Yeah.
We did not get a chance to check mail before recording, so we might have mail, but it'll have to be for next week. So if you sent mail, it's not that we didn't get it, it's that we have not checked the box.
And anyway, considering the time of night it is.
For us. Right. Time travelers.
I still need to edit this, and it needs to be uploaded, so.
I know. We had very, very much been spoiled by not doing this kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to going back to not doing this kind of thing.
You and me both.
I'll be interested to hear how this sounds with the mics. My hands hurt. If you're watching on YouTube, you've watched me shift back and forth. I'm looking forward to next week when they're on mic stands. Just saying.
Okay.
I love you. I'd like to lodge a formal complaint. Hey, it's proof that I'm feeling better.
You know what? You know what happens to people who lodge formal complaints to the support department?
They get nothing.
They get bumped to the bottom of the list.
Oh, you know what the support department does? They tell me to turn it off and back on again. That's what they do. I've watched IT Crowd. I know. I know.
Is it plugged in?
Okay, we really do.
Yes, we need to do our little thing.
Bonus
section. And move on.
And then, in less than 2 hours, people can hear it.
Exactly. Okay. All right, are we good?
As good as we can get,
all right.
I think.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. And I am wondering how it's going to sound. I know I already said that, but I'm like, really? Because that mic has gotten closer and closer to your mouth. So we tried out this equipment for the first time.
It has not gotten that close. I can see how close it is.
Now that you pulled it back, you're right. It's not that close. It's awesome. We tested out the equipment and gave a first, I say peek, but first audio glimpse of the new mics for Patreon.
For Patreon, yes.
And y'all, that mic was closer and closer. And there was no camera on us, so nobody could see it. I was pulling his hand away from his mouth. And we know we still need, you need a muffler thingy.
A pop filter. I definitely need a pop filter.
A thing to muzzle you.
I'll muzzle you.
It's a muzzler. No, that's not a word either. I'm just making shit up now. I knew it wasn't called a muffler, but I was making the word muffle a verb or an adjective. Fuck my grammar. It's late at night for me. I don't know anymore. I don't know words. I didn't mean like muffler, like on a car. I meant a thing to muffle. That is what I meant. So I don't think there's a lot to say in the bonus section because you now know how the whole week went. My head was not in a good place. But we are, I think, both nervous and excited about the show at the Woodshed.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping my social anxiety takes a back fucking seat for the weekend. Just from 3 to 7 on Saturday. That's all I need, just to not show up during that time.
We'll be together, so.
We'll be together, and I will probably put on my podcasting voice or my video voice. And it's a little bit performative. Like, it's me. Y'all know it's me. But it's more of this, I have to project for people and I have to help other people. And it's a slightly different persona. It's where I fake my confidence is what that is. I also haven't done anything that involved selling anything since my retail days. Oh gosh, 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to be really rusty at this. I'm not going to know how to sell Jack. I don't want to sell Jack. Jack might not want to be sold. But y'all know what I mean. Y'all know what I mean. But I am, there's a little part of
you'll be my lovely assistant. Just smile and point.
Whatever, you'll be over there putting paracord on handles for people. I'll be like schlepping it out there. Look like a circus barker or whatever. Carnival barker, that's what I wanted. See, words are hard at this time of night.
Hurry, hurry, step right up.
Yeah, no, I'll probably giggle and go, Daddy! and they'll be like, give me your money. There is a part of me in my head that's evilly rubbing my hands together and going, mwahaha, thinking about money. And yet I'm trying to keep expectations realistic. Because I know how craft fairs usually go. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
It'll be fun.
I think it'll be really fun because it's the two of us together.
Right.
And that's the one thing we have not have done.
We've not done, no.
No.
So
and we are better together than apart.
We will be together.
Mm-hmm. I will be wearing my baby girl t-shirt.
And it's not just a craft show.
No, it's a kinky craft show. I know. And there will be other kinksters there. And if I call you daddy, nobody's going to give me side eye.
Right.
Well, they might give me side eye, but I'm not going to give a shit because your kink's not my kink, but your kink's okay. and there might be, you know, people to meet that we don't know or people that we know that we haven't met in real life. Like,
All kinds of wonderful possibilities.
I know. And I just need to not be a hot mess is what I'm saying. It's what I'm hoping for, that maybe I can get some sleep and I can feel good about it, and I can stop feeling so anxious and blah 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 blah. So it's that y'all have really already heard about our week. I wish we had mail. That would be more interesting.
True.
I have spent for a day when I had way more stuff to do than I had time to do it in. I have spent way too much time in the car driving around. But I think both kids had a growth spurt at the same time. So for the little one, that's easy. Every time the oldest grows out of pants, I stash them away because they keep growing out of their pants before they can wreck their pants. School uniforms.
Which is a nice thing.
Right. School uniforms don't count. They wreck those every year. But like jeans and stuff. So for the youngest, I almost never have to buy him new pants. Like casual stuff, I just pull it down and he goes to the next size up. But the oldest does not have that luxury, and he is officially in man's pants, 28-30.
Yep.
But I had to go to two stores to find him jeans. And now I did learn the heaven that is order online, pick up in store. So I didn't have to go traipsing around a store. I didn't have to go sifting through anything. I ordered it online. I paid for it online. I still went and stood in the line, but still it was way quicker. And I got Starbucks all the times. So much Starbucks today. I'm not going to blink again. It's going to be Saturday before I blink.
I think I need to invest in Starbucks stock.
Yes. I really think they just to be a sponsor. They just need to, like, I would get the Starbucks mermaid tattooed somewhere on my body if they would just pay me for it. I would probably do that. I don't think
You know, I always got a Starbucks cup in my hand.
I finally out-coffeed myself. I did a late night run to Target to pick up the last pair of jeans I could get and a belt because they needed a belt. And on my way back, because it was Target, I got Starbucks.
He was so funny. He was like, I need a belt? You mean there's no strap on the side to adjust?
Parents of younger children, you know, the adjuster elastic thing inside pants? He's never not had those, and he's never not had to have them tightened. So, yeah, it's his first experience with, as he put it, these are man pants. Yes, yes, they are man pants. Yeah.
Yep.
And I need him to be in specific measurements because both boys are really thin, but really fucking tall. Their legs just go on for fucking miles and can't keep them in pants. And it's long pant season, and it's not just their ankles that show anymore. It's like mid-calf. Yes. Like they're wearing capris. So, yeah. Did all that. So, yeah, that's us for this week. Mm-hmm. I think next week will be better. We have some good topics that are slated to like come up, but this week I don't have the mental energy to talk about those things. I have to talk about this thing because this is what's weighing on my mind. And I do feel a little bit better. And I hope that somebody else out there can relate, and maybe they feel a little bit better now too, just because they know they're not alone. Because I think that's important. I think it's important that we know. Because we're never alone. We think we're alone. How many people out there, when you found out you were kinky, thought you were the only kinky person either on the planet, in your town, in your state? Yeah. No.
Nope.
No. You're not. And you know you're not. But you had to go find people to know that. Well, the same is true of everything else, including mental illness, physical illness, everything. Everything. None of us are alone.
It's kind of a matter of finding your tribe, no matter what it is.
Right. And sometimes they don't have to be your best friend. You just have to know somebody else out there is like, oh, they get it. Okay. It's not just me. And I, my whole life, I have been able to grow more and do more. And it almost always started from that moment of, oh, it's not just me. Okay. And so if I could give anybody that feeling this week, then we did our job.
Yes.
So I think we can be done.
Are we good?
I don't know. We're wacky.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We love you guys.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Next week, we will, bonus section, we will tell you all about the show at the Woodshed.
Yep.
If we meet anybody, we will not name you by name and take away your anonymity.
No.
So don't worry about that. So if you are coming, do not be afraid. We're not going to go, oh, guess who we met? And this is what they look like. And this is where they work. No, we're not going to do all that.
We'll just be like, oh, we met some wonderful folks.
Right. I think we're pretty good at anonymity.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty good at it. So that's it. And yeah, we'll talk about that next week. And hopefully it'll be a more uplifting episode next week.
Yes.
Okay, y'all.
All right.
We love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.